Hi. I have to accept.
Yeah, I know. It didn't ask me to accept. Oh, because I switched it on. It's only you have to accept if it's on automatic record. If you
Yeah.
switch it on, it just tells you. Anyway, whatever. Keeps the technicians busy, I suppose. Fine. So let's just summarize what we've had. If we're in Chelek Shlishi, we have to see what came before. Because we said there were seven categories about a month or a few months ago. We said there were seven categories where B'tochen applies and applies differently in different areas. Now we're talking about the B'tochen that applies to your relationship with other people.
This is category number three of the seven.
Yeah, this is number three. Pirush ha'chelek ha'shlishi ve'emin yonah ishtoi ubonov ubnei baisa ubukrevov ve'ohavov ve'oivov ve'miyudov ve'makirov, whole list of people. Whole lot of different people, yeah. Just 1 second. Oh, here we go. Sorry, my eyes are not that great. So it's your wife, your children, the people that live in your house, relatives, friends, enemies, colleagues, acquaintances. Those that are above him and below him among social groups that he might turn to those for help, but they might turn to him for help. The correct way of betochen. In other words, how does a Baal betochen deal with matters regarding these people? He's going to explain now. V'hu, like this. She'ein Adam nimlot mi'echad mishnei dvarim. Person is always found in one of two situations. She'enochri, either he's living with a stranger, where he's got no company, we'll see what he means. Or she'e betoich mishpochtoi v'krovov, where he's living amongst his family and relatives. So each of these situations has its own approach to betochen. We'll have to see what he means. Either person has no family and friends, he's alone, he's one of these hermit types and he lives on his own. And he meets strangers along the way, or whatever, but it could be anybody living in New York, you know what I'm saying? It could be any one of a couple million people living in New York, even though they live in a building with 10,000 people, but they live alone. They don't have shaykhs with other people. And then there's someone who's living, you know, like normally, like we live with a family, with children, with grandchildren, with an extended family. It doesn't mean living in the same house at the same time. It means he's part of a society, he's part of the world. So that's how he divides it up into these two categories. I don't know why he does that, you plot this, but let's have a look. So first of all, the betochen, he's going to relate to when you live alone, when you're a stranger in a strange land. V'imeh nochri, nochri doesn't mean yagoy, like we mean in Loshon Gemara. Nochri means he's a stranger. V'imeh nochri, ye tzivtoi ve'elokov ve'ez hishtoma musoi. When he feels lonely, it can happen sometimes. I'm just thinking, I don't know, he doesn't say, but it could be sometimes like when you're traveling. The person's got to go away on business. So he travels overseas on business. It's lonely. He's in a hotel room on his own. And I have a friend from Toronto. He travels a lot. He's sometimes like he's in a month. He's in a strange country in a hotel room. He works the whole day and he comes home at night. He's alone. So when he feels lonely, he should take company being with Hashem. He should, Israel once told us Mice about this, maybe I'll tell you. And when he has a difficult situation because he's a foreigner, he's a stranger, he should rely on Hashem for his help. What's so unique about this situation? In every situation, you person should be dealing with you. First of all, you're always alone, even if you're with people. And second of all, I don't know what's so unique about this, because that's always the case. You know, sometimes a person can be at home and feel lonely sometimes, whatever, misunderstood, lonely. So then you have to find company with Hashem. Well, Avigdor Miller speaks about that at length. And you should put his trust in Hashem when things are going difficult. So I don't know what's unique about this particular category. I would say that applies to everything. Let's see how he builds this. I don't know where he's going with this. He should remind himself that really the neshama is a stranger in this world all the time. He's not a permanent resident in this state, in this world. Therefore, he should use his aloneness to remind him that really he is lonely and alone because he's not in the right place. He's a stranger in a strange land. The yid doesn't belong in this world. Ki anshei ha'aretz kamo geirim bo kamo shama kosuv ki geirim v'teshovim atem imodi. You should remember that everybody in the world is just a temporary resident. Like it says in the Pasuk in Vayikra, that the land belongs to Hashem. You're temporary residents with me, Hashem says. That's what we learned from Yovel. That it brings down here that the Yovel teaches us that you don't own anything. We're all strangers because the land gets taken away from you when you get to Yovel. You thought you owned land.
But you're talking about Yovel.
Huh?
I thought you were talking about Yovel.
Yovel alone, because in Yovel also they take away your land if you think it's yours and they take it away. So. Yeah. Don't talk about Yovel. It brings back memories. I'll go back, although I'll get lost there. It's a good.
Sorry.
No, I'm joking. There were good years in Yovel. Eh? The last time I was in South Africa, when I saw you the last time, I went to show my kids Yovel. I nearly got killed. Eh? A little bit changed since we lived there. Wow. I'm sure Malcolm Sakon, the truth. Eh? Anyway.
Right.
It used to be a spiritual Mokum Sukarna for some people and a spiritual lifesaver for another. It was like the firmest place in Joburg. And now it's just a Mokum Sukarna Lagamre. Dangerous to go. Well, I've got a fright. Anyway, so that's what we learned from the 50th year, the Yovel, that the land doesn't get sold permanently. Why? Because you're temporary residency, Hashem says. V'yachshov b'liboy. He should think to himself, he called me sheyesh lo kreivim boy adzman ma'at yashuv nochri boydek. Even if a person has relatives, yeah, he's got lots of family, but soon he's going to be a lone stranger. When he departs this world, when he leaves this world, he's going to be alone. V'lo yailu koru v'lo ben. There's no relative and no child's going to help him. V'lo yischabe imo echad mem. None of them will be, he's not going to be accompanied by any of them. The person leaves this world, he goes into the next world, he goes alone. So, when a person goes in front of the based in Shomali, he's on his own. He can't say, well, it was his fault. Like, no. You stand on your own and you get judged. It's terrifying, but that's what he's saying. When a person feels alone, when he feels bodded, when he feels whatever, he's alone. It's not a nice thing to be alone. Loneliness can be terrible. So he should remember, he should use it as an hizdamnut, to machazak himself, to work on these concepts that in this world, anyway, you're a stranger, number one. You're a foreigner in this world, that's number one. And number two, you are alone, no matter how many people are around you, but eventually you're gonna move out of this world and you're gonna leave you alone. No one's gonna hold your hand when you go. So that's the person who's alone. I don't know. There might be Yuku Gurotsepo, but
he's saying how you meant to, it's like a seventh part of what you, the third of the seven parts of how you meant to relate to be talking towards certain aspects. Is that what he's doing?
Yeah, what he did right in the beginning of this section, if I can find it, it was a long time ago when we did this, he brought down, let me see if I can find it there, right at the beginning of Perek Dalet, he says, Shivas hadvarim sha'adam chayav l'vtoch b'em al Hashem, u'b'ura b'tochen anochen sh'yesh l'ishtamayis bo b'kol echad m'shivas hadvarim ha'adu. There's seven areas, seven categories, seven things, that a person has a chiyuv, they have b'tochen, the correct b'tochen, because we'll see the b'tochen in them is different, and there's a different type of betochen that he has to use for each one of these seven areas. And if you cover these seven areas, you've covered all the areas where betochen is relevant. And then he went through explaining. He said like this, just to remind ourselves, the chelek rishon, chelek echad was the dvarim atzim b'olam hazeh, v'mivim teles b'olam hazeh. Things that are in this world and they bring you benefit in this world. The second one is Dvarim. I'm just going through this, a good chazara, just to remember where we are.
Yeah, great.
It was for myself. This is right at the beginning of Perek Dalet. The things in this world, that's for, the way I understand it, that's most of what we're doing here, using things in this world in order to get into Olam Haba. That's essentially what...
Yeah. Rabbi, where you're holding now, I see two things, right? Echad, he says, Shnei Minim. Echad Mehem Divrei Olam Hazeh V'Hashem.
I'm in the Leif Toiv. I'm sorry. I jumped down to the bottom to the Leif Toiv. They're on Shin Samaches.
Yeah.
Shin Memches, sorry. Shin Memches, Perek Dalet. Perek Dalet.
Where do you see seven?
It says like this. V'advarim sh'adam ma'amin v'hei m'uchav liftoch b'em ala bo'yiz b'rach k'olim sh'nei sugim. One second. Ah, yeah. No. So in the Hagdama of the Leif Toiv, he says, Shivas advarim sh'adam chayv liftoch b'em. And now he's going to speak out the seven things. He's going to speak out the seven things. You're right. Now he talks about two. The two things, the first two categories are things in this world that bring benefit in this world, and then things in this world that bring benefit in the next world. Okay? That carries on. One of those first two is now divided into three. Okay? You tracking me, Shlomo?
Yeah.
Okay. So the first category, this world, this world. It's divided into three branches. Those things that relate just to your goof. That relates to your possessions, your panosa, your wealth, all different possessions that you have. Chelek echad of those three. In other words, you have number one, and then you have one A, B, and C. Correct?
Or one A, B, and C, correct.
Roman numeral 23.
Yeah.
I can't track Roman numerals. I can see how we're starting with two things. And we branch one of them now into three.
Three,
one,
correct.
Two, and then these things are branching into three, yeah?
Right.
So the first of the three is things which relate to your goof.
Right.
The second ones are things that relate to your possessions.
Right.
Your panosa, your wealth, your possession, your black leather lounge suite. Don't fall asleep on it, Jonathan. You look much too comfortable. But...
Nah, and, this is what... Okay. Huh? Keep talking. What? Keep talking.
I can put you to sleep without the leather.
No, just keep talking.
Chelek ha-shlishi. Chelek ha-shlishi, that's the third of that one we're dealing with. It's varim shoteles shalem hi. The purpose, the benefit of them is yachas nachon mitzidoi klapi bnei b'yisoi, the correct relationship you have to have with your family members, your wife, your relatives, your... As he's going to mention, we just went through the whole list now. Your beloved ones, your enemies, Yishvachas Hashoinah Shal B'nei Adam, Hem Eru Shemamodam Gevur Memodav, Hem Eru Shemamodam Namuch Me'abdor, the people that you meet that are on a higher standing than you, people lower standing than you. In other words, all the interpersonal relationships that you could have.
So is this part B of those three parts?
No, this is 1C. The first two were things in, that you have in this world that provide benefit in this world. That's what we're dealing with now.
That we're not dealing with. We're dealing with things but in the next world, split into three. And this,
No. Things in this world that provide benefit in this world, dividing into three.
Okay, split into three. And now we're on the third one. Okay.
And now we're on number three. Yeah. So we're on 1C.
Okay.
And then we'll go to two. Hopefully. Or one. We'll go back to. We're going on number two. That's all. It's one and two. One is this world. Two is this world, next world. In one, there's your goof, your possessions, and your interpersonal relationships. You can see how the circle's getting bigger, right? You write yourself, you write your possessions, and then all the people in the world that you have to interact with. About this world, there's relationships you have that deal with the next world. We're talking about this world relationships, how your betochen has to look with those for those people, yeah? Okay, now we're back to Shin Samach Zion. Shin Samach Zion. And we're now going to deal. Oh, so now, when we got to the third of the of one, 1C, he divided into two. So you have 1C, Roman numeral one, and Roman numeral two. Okay, fine. So the one is on your own when you're alone. The relationship with yourself, ben odom la atzmoi. Right? That's about a relationship. That's when you're on your own. Not like the first thing, which is just you and your goof and your possessions. No, you alone. You're on a desert island somewhere, how do you relate to yourself? Or you're in a foreign country, you're in a foreign place. Today we don't really feel that so much because you've got a foreign place, you don't like really feel lost and bewildered and maltreated. If you can go to a foreign place today, used to be a time where you could get on a plane and just go wherever you want. I have a friend who's missing his daughter's wedding next week. I mean, it's just ridiculous. Eh? You know, Beryl Golombik. Anyway, we're being recorded. I should mention names. But anyway,
he's horrible.
His daughter's getting married next week in Lakewood, and he can't get
there. In Lakewood. I can't get to Lakewood.
Can't get to America.
Because anyway. I had his other daughter for a Shabbos a while ago, and she told me she was going to Lakewood. She was here. She was in Israel. Maybe she's going.
In Israel, it's easier to get there. Anyway, whatever. I'm just saying, it's used to be a time where you could travel. He's talking about a time where we're traveling to a strange city or a strange country where it was not much sakana. It was dangerous, you know. Today, you fly to Bangkok. What do you care? You stay in a hotel. You get a taxi. You do what you have to do. You don't feel like, wow, you know, like miserable, lonely. And, you know, it's like the local kach. We don't grasp this strange person in a strange land. That's why we don't have that marshal of what it's like to be in a strange land, because this land is a strange land for our neshamas. We don't belong in this planet. But we don't really have that sense of being in a strange land. You know, when I go traveling, I stay. Sometimes you're better off when you're away from home than when you're at home. You know, you have more luxury and whatever. You know, so it's not like maybe if you got arrested in Russia or something, God forbid, you know what he's talking about. Well, so that's what he's referring to. Okay, fine. So now the one that's more relevant to us. No. Before we get there, 1 second. We haven't finished it. Once again, just hold on. Oh no, I've turned over the page too fast. 1 second. That's betochen when you're alone. Oh, sorry. The yachshuv achar kach. And then you should think afterwards. Vistaklut chived masam v'chavoyisam v'tzrochei ma'alav. When a person's alone and he doesn't have people to deal with, he should see that as a big chesed, that Hashem's taken an enormous burden off his shoulders from having to take care of a family and all the normal obligations that you have in order to fulfill your family's needs. And he should consider this one of the big chasadim that Hashem did for him, that he's alone. In other words, you don't go choose to be alone. The Torah tells you not to be, but Hashem makes you alone. So now, what are the advantages? There's a lot of positive advantages. You could start a kiruv organization in a place where no one else can go because there's no chinuch. You can become a teacher. A lot of things you can do. You don't have all the oil and having to raise a family or whatever. So you feed up to do other avodas Hashem. So that's what he's saying you should think about. If you would have to run after this world and all the needs of this world, it's much easier if you don't have a wife and children. Do I have to tell you what percentage of your income has anything to do with you? What do you need to live on? Look around your house and have a look and ask yourself, how much of this do you need for yourself if you're on your own? You cut your budget by 90%. That's what he's saying. You don't have to do that. You have to have a wife and you have to have children, you have to raise them, feed them, whatever. But if Hashem says no, you're alone. So there's a chesed in there. There's a pain also, but there's a chesed in there. It's a lot easier than having a wife and children to support. This absence brings him a certain kind of calm, the certain emotional tranquility that he has, because he doesn't have that oil and that responsibility. Again, you can't run away from it, but if Hashem decides not to give it to you, you potter. And when the whole corona thing started, so I went to the Rosh, I said, what am I going to do? I can't go fundraising. How am I going to survive? He says, say thank you to Hashem that you potter from Ishtadlis. Hashem just potted you from Ishtadlis. You can't go anywhere. You're stuck at home. So what Ishtadlis can you make? You can make a few phone calls, send a few emails, whatever. But said, I was there. You can do that 10 minutes a day. But getting on an aeroplane and flying to America and draying it around and going, Hashem said you potter from that now. What can you do? You potter. So be happy that you potter. Well, what do you mean? How are you going to support? You're going to support the way you always support it. Hashem's going to do it. What about your chiv ishtadlis? You potter from ishtadlis. So the same year, if you don't have a wife and children, so then you potter from having that. You tried, you did your best, whatever, and you don't have it. So that's a brocha. Then we have a makesh in yon acharisoi. And if he's very worried about getting ready for the next world, if that's what his main concern is, so for sure his mind is much more clear and able to serve Hashem when he lives alone, because he doesn't have all the responsibilities in the oil and having to work so hard and provide, and then he put chuta yeled and dealing with the children, thank you for speech and going and swimming lessons and that up end of us off. He can go through 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and not have 2 minutes for himself. This guy doesn't have that. It's a big case that he's freed up. He's got a good life. And I'm sort of fantasizing and start thinking because you have children and you have a family. But he's saying if a person happens to be alone, even for a while, when you're overseas or you're away from your family for a while, you've gone away on business or whatever. So take with this idea, even if it's just for a week, the certain tranquility that you have that you don't have to be dealing with. You don't have to be putting the kids to sleep. So you can free yourself up. You can do other things. Then I'll speak about people that go into this they do that on purpose. They do that on purpose. Okay. So you will see now he's going to talk about people who do this voluntarily. That's not us. We're not Shaykh. The concept of precious, we'll see. There is an Indian of precious by us, but it's very different to the way it's normally understood. We'll see. We all push it. All of us are pushing. What do you mean? You live in a house with a family and children and you got to work and you do this and whatever. Yeah. You look at the way the secular world lives. You would look where you live. You realize you're separated from society to a certain extent. You separate from the world of Gashmias because you've got other priorities, other expenses, other things that you can't spend and buy and do whatever they do out there. So you are perish mina oilam tzat. But let's just see. He says, because of these benefits, so someone could even voluntarily go deal with the situation. Okay, now you are pushing borchim mikroveim umbateim elaharim. Sounds weird to us, huh? It sounds like abandonment. You know, you abandon your wife and children. You go live in the mountains, and you're freed up to serve Hashem.
Praise love.
Stories like that. Huh?
Praise love him.
No. We're talking about the Prushim. The Prushim were great people. No, to do it today, you must know. To do it today, if you're doing it, I promise you now. If you check yourself out, you realize you're not doing it for the right reasons. I promise.
Yeah.
You. There was a guy, maybe we'll end with this because I will maybe next week with the pushing because we started late. I have to try and finish. I've still got like a whole day ahead of me tonight waiting on my desk. No, it's good. Well, I'll just tell you a quick story. A guy came to Rav Pinkus, Choshev Avreich, and he had the scum of his wife, and he wanted to go back to Yeshiva, and he was going to live like be in Yeshiva, come home for Shabbos, but he was going to be in Yeshiva the whole week. And he was going to steig, and he was going to be dedicate his life to being to serving Hashem and learning and whatever in the yeshiva like he was when he was a bocher. So Rav Pinkus thought about it. He said, "Look, I'll tell you like this: if you're going to do, you're going to be a masmid like all the bochrim in the yeshiva. You're going to get up, you're going to have an shachris, you're going to learn off the shachris a little bit. You'll have breakfast. You'll come to morning seder on time, not late, on time. You learn a full morning seder. You'll have a mincha. You go for lunch." You'll have a rest, whatever, like everyone does in the yeshiva, whatever, or you'll learn a bit during lunchtime. And then afternoon Seder, you come on time, you go all the way through till the end, Musa Seder, Ma'ariv, Supper, Night Seder, book, you go to bed the way you're supposed to. So if you do that, then I'll shumpon and vaif, and you can do it. Then it's also to do. Mappi, what are you talking about?
What? Said, then it's also.
And it's also for you to do. It's also legamre. Also. What do you mean? Sounds like I just described the best guy in town. He said, no, that's a yeshiva bocha. That's how yeshiva bocha has to live. So what are you telling me? You want to go be a yeshiva bocha? You want all the advantages of yeshiva bocha and still be married? So what did you get married for? You just want to be a yeshiva bocha and also have a wife to come home to on Shabbos. He said, if you go to yeshiva, okay, and you're up at 4 o'clock in the morning, and you've learned 3 hours before the first bocha gets into the Beis Midrash to Daven Shachris, yeah? And you learn all the way straight through, you know, you stop for a quick breakfast or you eat crackers bigger than the Beis Midrash, and then you learn all the way through and you don't sleep, well, tuck, 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 you go way beyond, then we can talk about it. But you want to be the best bocha in yeshiva, so there's got to be a bocha. Why did you get married? You know what he's saying? That's the danger today. The guy says, look, I'll go off to the mountains, I'll serve Hashem, one second, are you really going to serve Hashem? You're going to use all this free time that you've got, so you don't have to, what are you going to do with it? You know, if you're real and you can pull that off, so then ask Shaila if it's mutter to do. Most people today, you see, even the Gedolim don't do it. Rav Chaim Kanievsky never bolted off to the mountains. Rav Elashev was about the biggest porush you could get. He used to sit in a shul with the door locked and his wife knew where the key was and no one else. And it was like 18 hours a day when the kid needed medical treatment. She wouldn't even go disturb him. Not because he asked for it, because that was her. Okay. But how many people can live like Rabbi Lashev? And he didn't go to another town in the city. He was downstairs. He wasn't like when he came home. He was home at night. He did all the kids' shidduchim. He had a shaykhus with his kids. So you want to go off and you want to go live in the mountains or live in, not in the mountains, you want to go sit and learn the whole day and whatever. Check out if you're being real, because most times you're not being real. It's all just an excuse. It's lazy. You want to get away from responsibilities. No, bichlal lo shaykh. Precious for us is not shaykh, but the concept is shaykh for us. And you have to see, it could be an hour a day. You need to be a parush. An hour a day, you need to be dead. This hour that's my clear sitting with Torah, I don't exist. I don't care who phones. My wife can phone. The kids can phone. Anilo. My son just phoned now. I didn't answer. It's pekuach nefesh. I can't help him. You know what I'm saying? And therefore, it can't be so urgent. So in my kriyas itim the Torah, I don't answer the phone. I'm a parush. That's how you can use the concept. Why are we learning about this? When I first came to Eretz Yisrael, when I was learning in yeshiva in Osamach, I stayed in a moshav called Beit Meir. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's not far from Telstar. In my day, it was like a bit of a hippie place, whatever. A lot of like the hippie guys used to move there. I don't know what's going on there now. But on this moshav, there's a koilel of prushim there. Folks used to arrive there Sunday morning in a hasa'ah, and I used to leave and used to come pick them up Friday morning to take them home. And I'm telling you, there were no beds in this yeshiva. It was older guys. It was a koilel. There were no beds. No one slept in a bed. They slept on their shtender. They used to sometimes come at 3 o'clock in the morning. I thought that was normal. That's why I'm such a meshugana. It was the first yeshiva I saw. So I thought that's normal. I thought, you want to learn a yeshiva? That's what you got to do, you know? They're called the prushim. There's a prushim keila. You remember Shlomo in Beis Yisrael? There was a kid who made matan, Lebanon's Weisberg's offroof in the prushim shul there in Beis Yisrael. Those were the guys who used to duck out on Sunday morning and come on Friday morning. But I promise now, these oaks did nothing but learn. There was nothing else to do there. And there were no beds. No one slept in a bed the whole week. You're ready to hack that, we'll talk. But until then, you know, be normal. But I'm saying the principle, the concept, is something that a person can take to himself. You have a lunch break at work, let's say, whatever. I'm just saying. So half an hour that lunch break was half an hour. I'm learning Chumash Rashi. So now I'm Pirish. I'm Pirish from the world. Yeah, I'm not going to buy a new car and spend all that money. I have to work hard or whatever. No, I can drive a little car now. I don't have to do whatever. Now I can learn a little bit more. Or there's a lot of things we can learn from the Prushin that are relevant to us if you want to know how to apply the principles. Let's look at that next week.
Is this point what he's saying on the third point? He's saying when you find yourself with free time, it's important to realize that it's not just, you know, Hashem, it does everything for my best and I can just relax now. No, I must acknowledge it's a chesed and trust that it's done so I can be freed of my other responsibilities to do different things. That's what he's basically teaching.
Correct. 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 Once again, it could be your responsibility now is to relax.
Right. It's all relative.
I'm saying
he's making you aware to be aware of that there's a chesed being done.
Right. Yep, exactly. Exactly. I'm just going to switch off the recording here. I'm just going to stop the recording here.